How are we doing this morning? Oh, gosh, I already forgot from last week, didn't we? I like the cheer, the scream, the holler, and all that stuff, and we didn't get any of it. But it is good to see a lot more faces that were down south that are now back up north in this wonderful, freezing, cold weather. Who all was in the south this past week? Raise your hand. Wait a minute. I know. Where were you at? Oh, see, I called him out, didn't I? He was at home. Okay. All right. I thought you guys went to Orlando. Okay. All right. They were recovering. Hey, when you take a vacation, you need a week to recover, right? Oh, they're down south now. So they left you. Okay. Okay. Wow. That's awesome. Anyway, I'm glad that you guys are all here. Who was here last week? Let's try that one. Maybe I'll get more hands this time. Yes, okay, good, more hands. That's good. Well, I'm Jason. I'm family pastor here, and Rashad, as you guys seen, he's lead pastor, and we're making him sit down, take a break, so that's what he's doing. Who said boo?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That's good. Anyway, we're going to be in Luke chapter 14. We're in the transition period here. We learned all about Luke our first quarter. We're going to be talking about love in the second quarter, and we're just getting there, basically, is what we're doing. So last week, we looked at Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and so we're just going to do a little bit of review, and we talked about how Jesus had a great crowd behind him and how there were so many people following him, so many different people following him. And let's just go in today's world with that, right? So there were Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and all kinds of different people with all kinds of different points of view, right? So if you have a Republican president, the Republicans are like, yes, he's doing everything right. The Democrats are saying he's terrible. And the Libertarians are just stuck. They don't know what to believe, right? So same thing. If you have a Democratic president, Democrats thinking. So all these people are going following Jesus, right? And he turns around and now he's about to speak. And who here has ever followed someone or wanted someone to speak? I remember when I was a kid, no one make fun of me, but there was a quarterback for the Bengals, not Boomer Esiason, but it was Clinker, I think was his name. And I remember I was at a fishing lake, and here comes Clinker, the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, I know no one roots for the Bengals. I'm sorry. I'm a Reds fan, but I'm not a Bengals fan. Thank you. All right, so I remember him walking, and all of us kids knew he was coming, so we started following him. And when we started following him, we were waiting for him to turn around and speak to us. And I remember when he did, we were like excited that he was talking to us. So I always picture Jesus churning and talking to these people and people getting excited. And Jesus said, if anyone wants to come to me, he must first hate. And he used that word hate, which was a comparative thing, saying mother and father, hate your mother and father. You got to love me more than you love your mother and father. You got to love me more than you love your wife. You got to love me more than you love your children. You got to love me more than your brothers and sisters and then yourself. And so we talked about that last week. And then we talked about how we have to bear our cross. And that was a tough moment there when we talked about bearing your cross, because our sin is what ultimately killed Jesus. We talked about how up on the cross, when people were on the cross, they died from suffocation. So what the Romans did, they broke their legs and they suffocated. But Jesus, it was prophesied that he wouldn't suffer a broken bone. So all of our weight was on Jesus, and that's what killed Jesus. And when you think about that, it hurts. It hurts to know that our sin is what killed Jesus. And then we talked about taking up our cross daily. This week, we were driving in the car, and I can say one of my ladies, because we have four ladies in our home. And so I'm not going to call anyone out specifically, Elizabeth. And she just looked sour. I don't know what the problem was. So I just looked at her, and I looked at her, and I said, what's wrong? Didn't Jesus wake you up this morning? And it changed her whole attitude, which that could have been bad. That could have been one of those beat moments. So as many of you guys know, we announced last Sunday that my wife is pregnant. And so, whoa, calm down. Woo! So this is where I talk about Jesus has a sense of humor, because just 2 weeks ago I was talking about to Elizabeth how amazing it is that we have a 7-year-old that now can go to the bathroom and do all that stuff by herself, and how we're out of that stage in life, and then we're back in that stage, right? Now we're back to diapers, which is worse than just having to go, Daddy, I'm done. Now we got to get all into it. But anyway, so that whole thing could have went two different ways when I said that. Didn't God wake you up this morning? And she looked at me, and it changed her attitude. I said, babe, we got to make sure that we bear our cross daily, especially we got four other ones, and now a fifth one on the way. And so we have to make sure that they see us following Jesus. They got to see that when we wake up, that we're excited that the sun is shining, or that even if it's raining, as hard as it was this week with all that rain we had like four or five people here one of those days it was raining. We're all like, man, we're so tired. This rain is making us so tired. But we have to make sure that we take up our cross daily. So we're going to read in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. We're going to do that again. Last week, I asked you all to stand and read God's word with me. I was going to read it, and you guys were going to listen, but you guys read it with me, and I thought it was really cool, so we're going to do it again this week. So if everyone would stand up as we read God's word. I know everyone just got comfortable. They're all melted into their seats, looking at me, eyes wide open. So anyway, we're going to read this together. It says, "For which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost, to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers would begin to make fun of him, saying, 'This man started to build and wasn't able to finish.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for the sun that is shining outside. Lord, we thank you for getting us out of bed. We thank you for allowing us to walk into these doors. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to hear your word. Lord, we just ask that as we talk about this passage, Lord, that you'll just open up our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will give me the words to say that you'd want your people to hear. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all that you do. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So like I said, my wife is pregnant, and so we have a four-bedroom house. We're adding a fifth child. If each child gets the room, you know how the math works, right? There's supposed to be like six bedrooms in your house. So we are in the stage of needing to build a new home. And so God has graciously allowed us to get some land in Pittsburgh. And I have built many of homes in my day. I used to be a superintendent for CP Morgan and also for Beezer Homes. So I have built many of homes on property that was already ready to be built on, right? So people came through, cleared land, put sewer pipes down, put water lines in, put gas lines in. And so all I had to do was, these people said they wanted a house. I told the contractors where the house was, what lot they picked. They came and they put the stakes in the ground. They started digging it. So we decided we were going to do this ourselves. Yeah, that cost was getting expensive really quick. They told us that I had to write a resume about all the people that I built homes for, and I had to have references, and then after that, I had to go and price out every single step that needed to be done in the home, come back to the bank and say, this is how much money I needed. And so I was like, man, I don't have a year to plan this. So we decided we're going to go with TK Homes. So we went to TK Homes, we talked to them. They have this amazing thing where they'll build on any lot you have, but you have to do the site work. I'm like, dang, I thought I was getting away from this. So I go and I talk to TK. They give me a price of what the house is going to be. We have a certain amount of money. Obviously, there's a budget, right? You can't, like it says in the scriptures, you got to count the cost. We only have X amount of dollars, and the house has already met that X amount of dollars. So now we have to look at how we can get there. So when you build a home, the first thing you have to do, you have to build the foundation. Who here knows the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Did I say that right? Yeah. Did I say it right? Good. All right. What's wrong with that tower? It's like this, right? Draws millions and millions of people every year. Why? Because they didn't have a good foundation. Where they put that footer, it started sinking because that land over there was not a solid land. And so the person we follow, who is Jesus, is solid. So you need a solid foundation. And so when you start with that solid foundation, what do? You dig below the freeze line in Indiana. Anybody know where the freeze line is? It's 36 inches. All right, in Wisconsin, I just found out it's 60 inches. 60 inches. So that's where you got to dig to get to your footers. So you put your footers in, and then you start going up. But we're doing something that CP Morgan didn't do. They put a basement. We're putting a basement on the house. CP Morgan did not put basements on the house. So that's new to me. So they're like, so we got to dig to the 8-foot mark, and then we got to dig the 30, they still put footers in at 36 underneath the basement, which I was clueless to that. I didn't know that's what they did. But that was one thing I had to learn through this process so far, is even with a basement, I thought the basement walls were the footers, but no, they have to dig and even deeper and 36-inch trench all the way around the perimeter of the house, and then they put the foundation in, and now they're going to build concrete walls. So once you build concrete walls, what do? You start framing, and you start building it up. And then after you do framing, you got drywall, you got electrical, you got plumbing, you got all these things, and guess what? All that costs money, right? Every single thing costs money. Let's go to our world right here. Here we are. We have a building, right? Dave Sweet said, you guys can have the middle. We're super excited that we get the middle part of the building. But when we get the middle part of the building, there's a lot more build out than if we would have taken that south end of the building. So we had to calculate the cost. So Rashad came to me. He said, Jason, all right, we got this middle section. We have X amount of dollars. Can we do it in that amount of money? So I start looking at it. We can do some of it, but we can't finish it. So what do? We have a three-phase plan to build this building over here. Phase one is almost complete. So men, this is a commercial. All right, we're going to take a timeout moment. Men, this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if you are available after 7:30 in the evening, okay, that's when I do it because that's when my girls go to bed, and I stay here till about 11. Unless you want to get here earlier, I'll come here earlier with you. We have to get paint on the walls. We have to get trim up. We have to get the HVAC hung the rest of the way, all right? Bill Kelly, myself, and Clinton did that, most of it this week, but we still have to get that done. And if you like to spray and wear paint as much as you put it on the wall, we need you, all right? We need trim done. We need all these things done because we want to try to have that open for Easter Sunday. And we're getting up against the clock. We got concrete work that needs to be done. If you can do concrete during the day, let me know. We're going to have a concrete truck deliver it, and we just need someone to finish it. So all these things, we're counting the cost. But that's phase one. There's phase two that needs to be done and phase three, which aren't even on the plan yet because we only have the money to do phase one. And so when it comes to Jesus, there's only one phase. There's only one phase. And that phase is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and following him. So many of us don't count the cost. When we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, we think that's it. And then when you get called out, we walk away. People walk away from the faith. I want to look at John real quick, chapter 6. You can turn there with your Bible, or it's going to be up on the big screen here and follow along. But look what happened in John chapter 6. It says, therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? So whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you're supposed to go and read before that, right? So I'm not going to read before that, but if you want to go home, read that and see what they're talking about. It says, Jesus, knowing himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you that don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who were not or who would not believe the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless he is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. What happened? It got hard, and they walked away. How many of us, when life starts to give us struggles, do we walk away? How many of us, when times come that we have to say that we're a Christian, don't? Because it's going to offend somebody. But Jesus died on the cross for you, but we can't stand up for him. How many of us love our sin so much that we continually do it even after we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior? That's a tough one. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was drinking a case of beer a day. I was cussing like no other, and I was committing fornication really bad. And pornography was my thing. I loved pornography. And when I got saved and accepted Jesus Christ, it was easy for me to give up drinking. And it was easy for me to give up cussing, and it was easy for me to give up the fornication part of it. But pornography was tough for me. That was a sin that I didn't want to give up. I liked it. But God convicted me. And if I'm going to say I'm a Christian and I'm going to tell other people they can't look at that, and I'm going to tell people that's going to ruin your marriage, I can't be looking at it behind closed doors myself. I got to be able to stand up on that and say, listen, I had that problem, but I gave it to Jesus because I had to count the cost. I had to count the cost of giving that up for Jesus Christ. And there's so many things. That's my conviction, all right? I'm not saying drinking is wrong. Don't go, oh, he's one of those guys, all right? I will tell you the Bible does say being drunk's wrong. We can't be drunk. You can't witness to someone if you can't even talk because your words are slurred. You can't witness to somebody if you're trying to walk and you're falling over, all right? I watched a video the other day. This guy looked normal. He was cracking me up. He was, anybody see, it's a cowboy. He got pulled over. He was drinking, and he was sitting there, and he started talking to the cop, and the cop was couldn't get it. He just had the alphabet completely backwards, didn't miss a beat, and the cop was floored. And my son can do that too, and I can't do it. But anyway, so I'm like, he can't be drunk. And then the officer tries to make him do the do-si-do and turn around. He starts kicking. It's like, anybody see that video? And then he takes his hat off, and did you see it? Okay. So he's like, he's doing everything, and he's not missing a beat. And then all of a sudden, she says something. He says, yeah, I couldn't do that if I wasn't drunk. She was like, cuff up. So it was really funny stuff. But how many times do we put on a facade and look good? But when you start digging in deep, you find out it's just a cover-up. Who here lets Jesus be front and foremost instead of in the back seat? Who really has Jesus as their co-pilot and not their backseat driver? It's tough. I've been there. I know the situation. That's why I can sit up here and talk about it. I got saved. I was excited I got saved. I told everybody, and then for 5 years, I didn't say anything about it. Why is it when we first get saved, we want to tell everybody about it, but then as our time goes, as our walk's supposed to get stronger, as we face more persecution and we get stronger, we face more persecution, we get stronger, our friends start making fun of us and we start shutting down. We start stop telling people who our Jesus is, what Jesus has taken us out of, what Jesus has saved us from. Instead, we let our friends dictate what we're going to do. I've been there. I know. I know that when you're sitting around the lunch table with your buddies and they start talking about all these things they're doing outside of marriage, and you're okay with it. You don't stand up and say nothing. You let them speak what they're saying instead of saying, don't you think that's wrong? Don't you think Jesus would not want you to do that? But we don't. We stay quiet. We don't stand up for our Jesus. Why? Because we don't count the cost of our friend's soul. We don't count the cost of our friend's marriage. Nothing hurts me more than to hear someone saying that they're getting a divorce. Trust me, if you guys know my wife, she's strong-willed. Sometimes instead of saying, hey, baby, take up your cross daily, I wish I could have reached over, opened the door, and pushed her out, okay? I'm just kidding. Calm down. Just as a joke. That's a joke. But what I'm saying is it's tough. It's tough to take up your cross daily, but it's something that we have to do. If you don't take up your cross daily, how else will the people know who you stand with? All right? Who you represent? I work in a prison, as you guys all know this, all right? People will die for their gang, for nothing, for no reason. They'll just go out because they represent the red colors or they represent the blue colors. So me, Genesis, and Cole, we're done. We better not walk in any blue neighborhood because we're dead, all right? So what are we going to do? We're going to disguise it and put on a blue shirt and walk through that neighborhood. And so many of us do that when it comes to our walk with Jesus Christ. We put on the shirt of our Muslim friend. We put on our shirt of whatever, the Singh religion. I mean, we put on these shirts so people think that we're them instead of standing up and letting people know that we're for Jesus, all right? Someone said that, I don't remember, I've been listening to a lot of sermons on podcasts lately because I've been digging trenches. I think it might have been Rashad, but somebody said that we need to wear a big J on our chest. That's a true superhero. Jesus Christ should be our superhero, all right? And so many times we want to say who our favorite superhero is. My favorite superhero is Jesus, all right? There's nothing you can do. He's the only superhero. My son tells me about Logan. Logan's dead. I can't believe Wolverine's dead. That was my buddy when we were growing up. I didn't even know the comic book. I didn't even know the comic book existed to where he could die. But my son tells me all about the regeneration and how through the years. What? Really? Who didn't know that? Oh, my gosh. I thought that was known. See, you spoiled it, alerted it for me. How did you? Okay, so he doesn't die. It was such a joke. I lied. I sat up here and lied. I apologize. Holy cow. Your son, you're supposed to tell me this stuff. So anyway, so obviously I'm not the only one that didn't know that, right? Yeah, Bill's going home. It's over with. Good gravy. What are we going to do? This is ridiculous. Good gravy. Oh. I'm done. Hey, here's a spoiler alert. Jesus wins. How about that? There's a spoiler alert. All right. Good gravy almighty. So, anyway, my bad. I apologize. You guys can shoot me later, but good night. Anyway, I'm gonna leave that analogy out. That's all I know about the whole dumb movie. But anyway, I have totally lost my train of thought. At least the audience is engaged. You're laughing. I like it. That's good stuff. All right, let's look real quick because I really lost all my train of thought. Let's look at Acts real quick so I can try to find it again. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible because it shows what people will do even when they don't know Christ. They will read and they will study. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up, go south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert Gaza. So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, high official of Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasure. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot and on his way home reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. So first off, who here, when they go to work or if they read their Bible, sit and read their Bible in quiet without anybody hearing them or to even know what they're doing? The best conversation is to say, hey, I'm going to go read my Bible. One of the greatest things is when I don't sit with my bunch of buddies at work that I love to talk to, they're crazy and funny, but I tell them, hey guys, I got to go read my Bible. So I'll leave them and let them know that's what I'm doing. Why? That just lets them know who your Savior is. And you don't even have to speak because that gives them an opportunity to ask you, hey, what did you read at lunch today? I've had that happen. Just use every moment you can to talk about Jesus to your friends. The Spirit told Philip, go and join the chariot. When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? All right, something that catches me, I love on that whole little verse right there is he ran. We won't even sit and talk to our friends about Jesus. But Philip ran to this man to talk to him about him. But we won't even sit and talk to him. Let that soak in for a second. It says in 31, how can I, he said, unless someone guides me? So it says, Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone guides me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice has denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about? Himself or another person? So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from the scripture. Philip didn't use his words. He used God's words. He told people who Jesus was. He told the eunuch who Jesus was through the Bible. And what happens? The greatest thing ever. Verse 36, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with your whole heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He ran to his friend. He ran to this man that he had no idea. And guess what? He was probably a black man. So not only did he break barriers, he was inclusive about going to him and telling him and sharing with him. How many of us won't share with another person of a different color or another religion? Because that's who they are. They're a different color. They're a different religion. How we can't talk to them about Jesus. Guess what? And earlier in the passage in Luke, it said everyone. That means everyone. I don't know how to explain that. Rashad always jokes, all in the Greek is all. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Every single person needs to hear who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus did for them. So it goes on, and Philip gets down into the water, and he's baptized, and he comes up. But notice it doesn't stop there. That's the problem we tell. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. And that's 100% Bible. That's 100% fact. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus demands us to go, and Matthew, go baptizing, telling all nations about him. So many times we just stop. We're saved. Oh, heck, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to sit down. No, look what Philip did. He ran. How many times are we running after our family to tell them about Jesus? How many times? I was at my niece's birthday party yesterday, and that was a conversation starter. I said, hey, I got to go home. I got to preach tomorrow. I want to look over everything, make sure I got everything in order. And just by saying that, hey, what are you preaching on? Where are you at in the Bible? All you have to do is just talk, all right? Let people know who your Jesus is. We hide so much behind being scared, being made fun of, being ridiculed, being bullied. I mean, that's the big word right now, right? Bullied? We're so scared of being bullied of our faith. No, why don't you just tell people who your Jesus is and not worry about it? Count the cost. Brownsburg has 30,000 people in it, roughly, all right? Connection Point's going to have 2,000 people in their service. We're going to have 120 in ours. Connection Point's the biggest church we got here. All right? Just to put Connection Point, they'll say all the other churches go the same amount. So let's say 4,000 people are in church this morning. There's 30,000 people in this community. Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you counting the cost of their souls? There's so many of us that are just happy that we're saved. We don't live that life. We don't even tell our kids about it. Why so many kids walk away from the faith? Because when they get saved, us as parents, we're like, they're saved. We did our job, right? They're done. No, we got to train them up to do what they have to do to get the next generation. We're after this generation, my kid's generation. He's got to be after his next generation. She has to be after that next generation. If we don't, what's going to happen? We're going to lose this world. We're going to lose this country. All right, there's so many people. We send a lot of people to foreign lands, and I know, and that's huge. I understand that. I think that's a great thing. But I like America. I think I'll stay right here unless God tells me different. But there's so many people in our own community that aren't saved, but we're sending people all over the country. When right here, there's, I don't even know how many. I'm just going to say 50, round it off. There's 50 of us. If each of us tell one person, that's 100 people. If they tell people, it's 200. If they tell 400, I mean, multiplication, if we could just tell one person about Jesus and that one person tells somebody about Jesus, it grows. But we're so scared, I don't even know the word, but we just sit down and don't tell people about our Jesus. That's our Jesus. He willingly hung on a cross and took the weight of your sin upon him and died. But we're scared to tell people about him. We're scared to tell people that, oh, that's my God. All right, we'll stand up for everything else. We'll stand up for all kinds of weird things, but we won't stand up for our Jesus. We'll stand up for, Lynn's going to kill me for this one. We're going to stand up for animals, but we won't stand up for Jesus. All right? Yes, animals are nice. God gave them to us for us to pet. I know, I love my dog, but there's times I'd love the kicker too. But that dog doesn't go to heaven. Right, like my son does. I'm going to pour more time in my son than I'm pouring that dog, all right? But we take all these things and we put them above Jesus. Politics, all right? I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Libertarian. I'm a Christian, all right? I don't care about all that stuff. God already has that handled, all right? We just pray for him. We don't need to post everything online about it. Count the cost. It's not worth it. I know people that have defriended Christian friends of mine because of the things they've posted, all right? Democratic and Republican. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Jesus wins. I already had that spoiler alert, right? I ruined Logan. Now I'm telling you the truth, right? Jesus wins. Jesus already knows what's going to happen, all right? Follow Jesus. Tell your friends about Jesus, All right, we need people to stay in the faith of Christianity. Too many of people are walking away because they don't have a firm foundation in it. They get saved and they think that's all they have to do. They walk out the door and they go home. No, there's more to it. It's a constant study. It's a constant growth. It's a constant, all kinds of different. There's so many constants that we have to do with Christianity. All right, and it's just not sitting here on Sunday. It's not just going to small group. All right, it's getting with each other. It's getting with your personal time and spending it with Jesus. So many times we waste so much time, so much time. I watched 3 weeks ago, I kept a count of how much time I wasted, and it was really bad. It made me feel really bad how much time I wasted that I could have been spending with my Jesus. Instead, I'm spending it looking at Facebook or watching videos of drunk guys kicking his leg and swearing he wasn't drunk and then telling on himself. All right? Wasting time. Yes, they're funny and it's entertaining. Jesus is entertaining. Jesus covers everything. You love reading love stories? Song of Solomon's in here. That's a love story. You read that. You like reading mysteries? There's all kinds of crazy things in here. All right? But we don't. We'd rather read what the world has to say. We'd rather listen to what the world has to say instead of listening to what Jesus has to say. And we have to stop that. We have to stop that. It starts with us. It starts right here. Starts today. We got to count the cost of what Christianity truly is. We get so caught up. So caught up. I'm guilty. I did it first. I wanted to make sure to see how much time I wasted. If you guys want to know how much time your kids are spending on certain apps, the app will tell you that, all right? You can go to battery. It tells you what app your kid is spending the most time on. Ask Cole. He's lost a lot of apps because of that, all right? Look at your phone. I don't know how Android works, but look at your phone and see how much time you spend on your Bible app and how much time you spend on your Instagram app. Check your battery. See how much time you wasted on Facebook instead of on your Bible. That's what changed me. Looking at that, I was triple and quadruple time more on those dumb apps than I was in my Bible app. Yes, I have a Bible that I read, but still, it shouldn't be there. All right? That is what God's word's there for us to grow. So as we're about to close, I just want to challenge you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise God. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Are you actually doing what God calls us to do and follow him? Are you studying? Are you learning? Are you telling people who he is? Start with that. But if you don't know who Jesus is, if this is your first time hearing it or you've heard it before, but you've always like, that's not for me. Let me tell you, it's for you and you need him. He's gotten me through so many things. So many things. He's going to get me through this pregnancy, let me tell you, because this was not a planned thing. All right? I'm serious. Before my wife came up and we knew we were pregnant, I'm serious. We were talking about how we're so close to being out of that baby stage where we have to actually go in the bathroom with our kids. We can actually just sit there and enjoy it. But now we're right back to the beginning. Right back to the beginning. Why? Because that's God's plan for me. And I'm going to take that baby and I'm going to love that baby. And if it's a boy or a girl, God, please let it be a boy. But if it's a girl... If it's a girl, I'm still going to love her. If it's a boy, I'm still going to love him. Because that's what I'm called to do. I'm called to raise the next generation. This room right here is full of kids right now. And I don't know how my wife keeps them so quiet, but she does. And they're in there, and we need help back there. If you've accepted Jesus and you're walking with him, next step is to tell people about him. There's no better way than to step back in that back room and tell those little kids about it. There's no greater joy. I will never forget the first kid I got to lead to Christ. There's no better feeling than to tell someone about Jesus and they accept it. They accept it. Why? Because they have childlike faith. They're like, Mr. Jason's saying it's got to be true. And that kid now is preaching. Preaching. All because I wanted to tell a kid about Jesus. Start with them. Start with a child. Then start with your friends. I'll never forget. Whoever remembers Evan Sciotta? We've grown a lot since Evan was here. Evan was the first adult I ever got to lead to Lord at a SWAT team academy. You want to talk about God working through some stuff. There are some crazy things happening at SWAT academy. But Evan saw me praying for my lunch and came to me and said, man, I saw you praying for your lunch. Something that simple. And we talked until 4 that morning, and then we had a wake-up call we had no idea was coming at 5. And we had to practice all day that day. But it was worth it. It was worth it. Me and Evan literally went to our bunks that night and just literally crashed. But it was worth it. Now, Evan, you see Evan online posting all these amazing posts. His wife, who was working and thought work was everything, quit work. Now they have 5 kids. That's what happened, right? So she quit working. She's got 5 kids, and she's raising her kids in the Lord. She counted the cost that it wasn't worth for her to work. It was more important for her to stay home, take care of her kids, and to raise them. I'm not saying that's for everybody. That's not. It was for them. That worked for Evan. And I'm only using Evan because he was the first adult that I had the opportunity to lead the Lord. But there's no greater joy to see someone accept Christ. And I pray that if you don't know him, you can talk to me, Rashad's here, Corey. You can talk to anybody. If you don't feel comfortable talking to us ugly men, there's plenty of women you can talk to. Lynn is here, all right? You can talk to Lynn. There's Lucy, all right? There's Bonnie. There's people that can tell you and show you in the Bible what it means to follow Jesus Christ. I love you guys. Sorry I ruined Logan. That was not my plan. But please don't hurt me. But seriously, Jesus wins. And that's the spoiler alert for the day. Jesus wins. Love you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you'd like any more information on Church on the Rock, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.